Nemo Sinis Nemon. From A Taste of Ismenian Water. By M.J. Bradley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 28, Tour de France. Harry pressed a light kiss to Fleur's cheek and rested his hand on the curve of her stomach.
"Be back soon," he whispered. "I love you, both of you."
He slid on Violette's ring and whirled the world back past him, stepping in the sunshine room. Grease twisted around beneath the floating lanterns.
"De Mendoza said no. He's not going to change his mind either."
Harry stifled a flash of annoyance.
"It's been a week.
The Conqueror might have already moved on."
"And the long run wait."
The amber mask shone in his mind's eye, rippling like glass snared flame.
"The greater the risk, he takes away something."
Panic stirred beneath his ribs, squeezing the breath from his lungs.
"I think we've waited long enough," he said. "I'm going to go."
Grace's pink eyes bored into him.
"You have the bearing of a man who's not going to listen to any opinions but your own."
Harry leant his head to one side. "I don't really see any benefit to waiting. We have to act, and you said Carlos de Mendoza isn't going to change his mind, so what will we be waiting for?"
"Permission from those above me."
Grease steepled his fingers.
"We didn't have this conversation, Violette, but if we had, I might have mentioned that Vera was in our room with all the information you might want."
He took a seat before the brazier, staring into the flickering white flames.
"Do what you think is best."
Fleur's sleeping smile and the swell of her stomach hovered in Harry's thoughts.
"Best for us."
"I will." He strode through into the corridor and knocked on Vera's door. The sound echoed down the corridor.
"Come in,"
Vera rasped, turning as he pushed the door open.
"Violette."
"I'm off to the Spanish Bulldo," he said, drifting down through benches buried in stacks of books. "Where'd you get all these?"
"The other, Anconi,"
Vera said.
"I am starting from scratch without project, but can't find a way to bend time far enough."
Harry spied a stack of pictures on the central circular bench and skimmed through it. "These are the bases."
"Grease said to wait."
"He said to do what I think is best," Harry replied. "And we both know he knows that isn't waiting."
"Le Conqueror is likely about to leave."
Vera flicked her wand at the pictures, levitating them up into a line.
"Three French subcells, all remote locations in the mountains. The main base is almost certainly on the other side of the mountains in Basque Spain."
"I'll start with those three and find that main base." Vera let the pictures drop back onto the bench.
"Do you want me to help?"
"Do I need her?"
Harry waited up.
"Probably not. And without her, I can act freely. I'm tired of sneaking and waiting. I just want to wipe them all away."
"No, it's fine." He studied the pictures, pinning the images in his head. "You want to set someone up to make sure they don't realize I've hit them."
"I'll sort it," Vera rasped. "Be careful, Violette."
She placed a hand on his forearm.
"You are powerful, but if you see Le Conqueror run, he is the most skilled I've seen since Grindelwald."
"I'll be careful," Harry promised.
"But I'm not running."
He smothered the flash of the amber-masked figure.
"If I don't come for him, he's going to come for me. The faux glass was clear about that."
"Go on, then."
Vera tucked her wand away and pointed at the books.
"I will keep trying to find a new solution."
"You're thinking too rigidly."
"Good luck," Harry said, apparating away toward the first photo. He stumbled onto a steep, sandy slope in the shade of gnarled pines and amidst low shrubs.
"Marie!"
A blonde woman froze beside the nearest pine. Sound the alarm! Harry caught her eye, slipping in Julian's sharp smile. Her thoughts bubbled with awe, flicking from one newspaper headline to the next. He pulled his thoughts away and put a piercing hex through her ribs, apparating outside the window and inside onto warm tiles.
Melt!
A short, dark-haired woman threw herself back out of her chair, rolling across the floor. Harry transfigured the floorboards, bending them around her into a wooden cage and ripping her wand from her hand.
Have you ever been to Spain, Marie?
She glowered at him, a defiant gleam in her brown eyes, and clutched the earring on her left ear.
Oh, no,
she whispered. The pearl glowed, and Marie gasped, slumping down inside the wooden bars.
Mad,
Harry muttered, smoothing the wood back into the floor and pressing two fingers to her warm neck.
Dead. Or the next.
He pictured the next image and apparated. A rough, dust-strewn yard stretched between crumbling, roofless barns. Broken windows gaped like dead eyes in the sun-bleached stones. A flash of blue struck his knee, spinning him around and slamming his back into the wall. Pain exploded through his left leg and blood splattered the dust, bone gleaming through his tattered robes. Harry batted two curses away and caught a flicker of movement in the barn opposite him. A loud crack echoed behind him and agony lanced through his shoulder in a burst of orange. He whirled round and flicked aside another blue spell, glimpsing a shadow through the broken windows of the other barn.
Apparating back and forth.
He thrust his wand at his kneecap.
Vulnerisonenta.
He pressed his wand tip against his shoulder.
Vulnerisonenta.
The throbbing pain eased and he drew his magic out into a spiral of white sparks. A deafening pop came from behind him.
Fulminis.
Harry whipped around. The bright white beam sliced through both barns and the farmhouse beyond, spraying molten stone across the yard. Sun-bleached stone walls crumpled into a heap of rubble. A twitching hand stuck from beneath the pale rocks.
Mad.
He thrust his wand at them, sweeping them aside. Red soaked into the dirt amidst a smear of splintered bone and battered flesh. The shattered shard of a skull adorned the gray spattered stones like pieces of broken eggshell.
Homina Revelio, he murmured, glancing around. Nothing.
He sighed and fixed his robes.
Third time lucky, I hope.
Harry apparated into lines of withered vines, staring up the slope at a pair of wizards sitting on a worn wooden bench.
Bonjour.
He turned his arm around, tucking his wand behind it.
Did he send you?
The leftmost asked.
Yes, Harry said, striding up the slope, flexing his fingers on his wand. Nobody else knows where this place is.
Weird.
The rightmost stood up.
Why has he sent someone there?
Harry held his dark brown eyes and let their thoughts wash together. Julian's sharp smile in the dim light of the cabin in the woods shifted into bright sunlight and wooden walls turned to a low, leaning church tower rising from smooth, shiny cobbles before a broad, shallow river and green trees. He slipped in the loose impression of a Muggle town sign.
A beer.
The world welled up in Julian's voice, and Harry pulled their thoughts apart.
You're not from Monsieur Aguilat,
the rightmost said, leveling his wand at Harry's chest.
Who are you? How'd you find us?
Harry pushed his magic into the air, wrapping it around them.
Violette.
Your real name?
The leftmost spat. I'd rather not. Harry gave them a small smile. I was quite hoping to meet with Monsieur Aguilar.
He's moved on. Left Spain, I think.
The rightmost said.
Now who are you?
Fury flashed through Harry's veins and a cold fist clamped around his heart.
He slipped away.
He twisted his wand, wrenching at the air. Crimson sprayed across the worn wooden bench, spurting in great gouts across the dirt, and the two wizards flopped to the ground. Gore-drenched ivory vertebrae stuck from torn flesh, gleaming in the pooling red. Harry sucked in a deep breath of cool mountain air, wrestling with the panic curling tight fingers around his heart.
I'm getting closer.
He released a long sigh until the tight stress eased and his pulse settled.
No more waiting. I'll go to a beer and find Julian at the next set of bases. He must just be getting started there.
He apparated home, stepping over Gabby's shoes into the hall. Fleur waddled to the top of the stairs, cradling her stomach with one hand and glowering at him with pitch-black eyes.
Where did you sneak off to?
She thrust a finger at him, flapping the uncuffed sleeve of her long shirt.
I had to go to work for a bit.
Harry's eyes slipped down to where the hem of the shirt hung over the top of her thighs.
You look cute in just a shirt.
She folded her arms.
I look like a ball.
A very cute ball.
He grinned and mounted up the stairs, and wandering around in just that shirt's going to give me ideas.
"Of other blonde girls who want to fat," Fleur muttered.
Her fingers twisted into the fabric of her shirt, showing off the dark silk underwear beneath.
"You won't want me when I look like this or after. Not when you could sleep with someone else like Daphne Greengrass."
"Hey," Harry murmured, tucking her fingers free and wrapping her hands in his. "I can promise you now that looking at you in just your underwear and a shirt makes me forget about any other girl. Looking at you makes me forget about almost everything else, even when you're fully dressed.
You'd say that even if it didn't."
She pulled her hands out of his.
"If you really wanted me, you'd do something."
Fleur held his eyes with dark irises and tugged open the first button of the shirt.
"But you don't, because you don't want to."
"I very much do."
"But you don't," she hissed. "When you came back, you wanted me all the time, and now you don't."
You said no the last two times because you were tired," Harry said. "And you seemed quite happy, just using me as a pillow. I thought I'd wait." Fleur balled her fists.
"Well, I wasn't tired this morning."
"Did you wake up and want to have sex, then get mad because I wasn't there?" he asked.
"No."
She tilted her chin in the air and folded her arms.
"I'm angry because you didn't want me."
Footsteps creaked in the corridor.
"Are you two arguing out here?"
Gabby drifted to the top of the stairs, pulling a thick green jumper over her pajamas.
"About sex?"
"Fleur's upset because I was absent at an inconvenient moment," Harry replied. "I had to leave while she was still sleeping."
"I am not,"
Fleur snapped.
"I'm angry because you didn't want to. If you'd wanted to, you'd have stayed."
"How is he supposed to know if you were asleep?"
Gabby asked.
"You're being silly and unfair again, Fleur."
"Hush, Gabrielle,"
Fleur glanced between them.
"You're always both against me."
Her lip trembled.
"That's unfair."
"You accusing Harry of not wanting him because he's not there isn't fair either,"
Gabby said. Fleur's eyes narrowed.
"If he wanted me, he would be here. He doesn't want me, probably because he's found someone else who's not all fat and tired."
White feathers slid out of her skin.
"And you'd jump at the chance to drown yourself in the feel of him loving you. Always sticking your stupid beak into our relationship."
Harry winced. Gabby's gray eyes flashed black.
"I would not."
"Yes, you would,"
Fleur hissed. "You're so smart to be prettier than I am. You'd love to steal him. You'd crawl about like you're finally better and prettier than I am."
"I would not!"
Little white feathers burst out through the weave of Gabby's jumper.
"I would never! I get involved to stop you doing things you'd regret because your head isn't screwed on straight!"
"She wouldn't, Fleur," Harry murmured, stepping between them. "And neither would I. You know that." He took her hands, grimacing as the heat burnt his. "I'll swear it, if you like. An unbreakable vow, just you, as always." Fleur stared at him, her eyes fading back to bright blue and the heat of her fingers waned.
"You would?"
"Of course," he whispered. "I'm sorry I wasn't here. I had to go and chase the amber-masked man. I just tried to do whatever I think will make you happy and stop anything being taken away from us."
"No Daphne Greengrass?"
A faint pout crept onto her lips.
"No Dufour sisters?
No Gabrielle?"
"Definitely not." He smiled and tugged her into his arms. "You're such a cute ball of fire and wrath. Nobody could ever tempt me away from you, least of all some girl I've said about 10 words to."
"Or one you've said more to,"
Gabby chirped over his shoulder,
"despite my best efforts."
Fleur shot a dark look over Harry's shoulder.
"Go away, Gabby."
Heat smoldered in her eyes as she turned back to Harry.
"Someone's going to make up for his unexpected absence repeatedly,"
Gabby snickered.
"I'll go, but..."
"If we need you, you'll be just outside," Harry snorted. "We know." Fleur slipped out of his arms and padded back into their room, glancing back over her shoulder and lifting the shirt over her head as she closed the door. "Thanks, Gabby," Harry said. Gabby wrinkled her nose.
"I don't think I helped much, but I guess now she's all choppy and moody, she's going to get upset sometimes, and either you or I are going to get pecked."
"Thanks for trying, I guess," she smirked. "Thanks for distracting Fleur so she forgets to ward their room." "Nope," Harry shook his head at her. "You need help." Gabby shrugged. "If you make Fleur wait any longer to talk to me, you're going to be the one needing help." "Probably true," he grinned. "But if I make her wait just a little, she'll get slightly worked up again, and that's usually a lot of fun." Gabby giggled.
"I know, I can hear."
Harry chuckled and stepped past her. "You're a strange girl, you know that." She caught his hand on the door handle.
I wouldn't recommend doing the Daphne Greengrass thing again. I can only guess what was going on through Fleur's head when she decided to do that.
He nodded. All sorts of silly things, I'd imagine.
Right, Gabby chirped. Try and give me a couple of minutes. Maybe if I burst into the room halfway through, Flair will finally realize our Villa bond is inevitable and invite me in to join you.
Harry laughed. You will get set on fire. He slid into their bedroom and closed the door, stepping over Fleur's discarded shirt and a slip of black silk.
What were the two of you talking about?
Fleur demanded, clutching her blanket up to her chin.
You thought they made me wait?
How the Eris Greengrass thing might not be a good idea for a little while, Harry said, bending to kiss her. And I think she's probably right.
And you're to talk about that now instead of coming after me straight away?
Fleur's grip on the blanket tightened.
I thought you wanted me.
Oh, I do. He eased the blanket out of her hands and let it slide down to the floor, trailing kisses down the side of her neck.
For the text of this and other stories, visit alltheblankcanvas.com, as well as patreon.com/theblankcanvas. Music by As I Walk Into the Abyss Blinded. QA assistance by Sakiko and Ohana. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.